Well, let's get into our Bible study this morning in John's Gospel, chapter 9. I know we kind of hit this a while back. This first portion, the first 12 verses or so, is what we had covered in a recent study. But this morning, brief overview, and then we'll pick it up from about verse 13, and we'll carry on to the end of the chapter. We'll kind of just go through it and piece by piece and kind of look at it a little bit and move through it. It should be not extensively tedious. It's kind of a story that, it's got a storyline to it, so it's got a great flow. So it's not like going through Leviticus was for us. We actually had a good time in Leviticus, actually. It really went much better than it sometimes can go. That can be an interesting portion of Scripture. But this is just a great area. This is about a guy that's born blind. And Jesus, he interacts with Jesus. Jesus touches and heals him. He doesn't know exactly what all's happened other than the fact that he was blind and now he sees. And it's definitely got the correlation to you and to me as followers of Jesus Christ, how we were once blind, but now we see. It's no different than growing up even in going to church your whole life, thinking that you kind of get what's going on, but then realizing one day you meet Jesus Christ and you realize, oh, so that's what all those hymns were about. That's what that, you know, reading those Bible verses were about. That, oh, the light just comes on. And that's what happened. The light came on. And on a lot of different ways for this guy, literally the lights came on in his mind's eye. He's able to see now. And then he's able to have this interaction with the person of Jesus Christ, which is obviously the central focus. All of chapter 9 is dealing with that man, the healing and the interaction. One of the things that I find that seems to be consistent as we've been going through the Gospels, in particular with John, there seems to be these contrasts that he keeps throwing out there. He keeps putting these contrasts in front of us. And the contrasts seem to be the person of Jesus Christ and his compassion and his love and his care, his forgiveness, his grace, his mercy, the compassion of the person of Jesus Christ in comparison to the religious, those who are religious. Now remember, we've talked clearly to define, because we have to have an understanding, a basis to understand what is the difference between religion. We are saturated with religion all around the world, but in particular here, right where the buckle kind of connects together here in the Bible Belt area, part of the country, man, no doubt religion is very predominant. So when we talk about religion, what are we talking about? When someone says to you, well, hey, I'm glad you got religion and that's working for you. I clearly make it it's very important to me to make it clear. No, thank you. I never got religion. You've misunderstood what I've embraced. Because religion seeks to establish its own righteousness, its own right standing before a God of sorts, through means of our efforts, our own works to make ourselves right with a God, whatever that might be. Whether it's God, the living God, or any other thing. It's man's efforts, our individual efforts, to try and make ourselves right before God. That's religion. Man trying to get to God. That's religion of any sort. The difference between Christianity and religion is we understand that God reached down in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, to meet you where you're at. And that's completely different than any other religion on the face of the earth. It is God meeting you, meeting me, meeting us right where we're at. That's Christianity. God doing for you and for me what we could never, ever do for ourselves. And that was he imparted forgiveness to you and to me. He pardoned us, forgave us of all of our sin as we open our lives and ask God to come into our lives in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. He comes into our hearts, into our lives. He makes your heart, my heart, his home, and he lives there. He washes and cleanses our hearts, our minds of all sin and all unrighteousness. Now we have a right standing before God and in our relationship to God through his Son. Jesus said, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. Simply explained, I just did. That's the explanation of that verse. There's a stark difference between religion and a true relationship, Christianity. And I think it's so important for you and I to have that just cemented in our hearts and our minds, because we're so surrounded globally with all kinds of religions. And the thing is we either fully believe that what God has said and who Jesus has represented himself to be or not. And I know there's plenty of groups and plenty of religions out there that say, well, you know, whatever works for you, and, you know, all these different avenues. And no, that's not true. Jesus is the only way. That's what he says. I agree with it. And I'm not ashamed of that. This is what drove Paul the Apostle all over the known world. This is why he was willing to, you know, be shipwrecked and suffer all the, you know, being rocks thrown at him, being left for dead. This is why he would go and stand before these foreign gods, these temples of these foreign gods, and he would stand there and say, this is futile. Can you imagine the hatred that was generated toward him when he would stand up and say, these are not gods. They're just wood and stone. Can you imagine the people's anger? This is their whole community centered around this little temple. He says, no, this is nothing. That's the same God that we serve that he was representing. And I think it's important for us to embrace this and know that Jesus constantly, as we go through as John records, he's constantly showing this contrast between who he is and those who are religious. So let's get into our text. You thought, oh gosh, are we done? Or no, we haven't even started our Bible study yet. But anyhow, chapter 9. He's born blind, he's healed. We pick it up, let's see. Let's pick it up in verse 7. Jesus tells him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. So he's been touched. You know, remember Jesus spat on the ground and made some kind of a little bit of a clay and then put it in on his eyes, a big source of irritation now. This guy's probably pretty eager. Of course, now he's blind, remember, and the effort that's got to be made to go find some place to go tells him to go walk quarter of a mile or whatever down the road go wash. Sometimes the things that are irritating to you and me might be a great benefit to us. Sometimes the things that irritate you and I are a good thing because they get us into that place of getting at the foot of the cross and getting washed. Asking the Lord to wash and cleanse. This guy goes down, does exactly what the Lord tells him to do. Therefore, then now this gets into this introduction, into this area of the interaction that starts to take place. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? You see, it was one thing for someone who has had sight and then was blind and then received their sight again. It is quite another for someone who was born blind, never had any sight, and now sees. That miracle had never been, that no one had ever heard or seen, or anything like this. Because God, in the form of his son Jesus Christ, did the super miraculous in touching him. He really created sight for that individual. So it was a deliberate act that was very different than other types of healings. It was really something that was not restorative, right, but was creative. And only God can do that kind of thing. That's what makes this so powerful. That's what makes what happened to you and to me so powerful. No one else can forgive sin but the person of Jesus Christ. No one. Only Jesus Christ can impart that to you and to me. And the miracle of the transaction that took place. And you can say, Pastor, you're just talking about such simple, basic things. I know. It's because we need to be assured in our day, in our age, in the time in which we live, when Christianity is plummeted consistently, and people just don't take any regard to any of what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ. We want to stand firm on something was imparted to us, something special, a supernatural, miraculous thing took place, a transaction in your heart, in my heart, in the realm of the Spirit to give you and me life. and that life everlasting. That's a powerful truth, a great thing to embrace, to know, to walk in, to be encouraged by. Isn't this the guy that was sitting around begging? He was blind. And then some said, this is he. And others said, yeah, he's like him. And he said, no, it's me. He made a good, no, that was me. Now, I want us to grab a hold of this guy for a little while. This guy's been blind, never seen. Can you imagine what that would be like? You know what the colors look like? You know what, just light and wow. So that's the guy. I know his voice, and that's what he looks like. He was the guy who used to pitch me a nickel every once in a while when he walked by. Kind of a cheapskate, but it was cool. At least he pitched me a nickel, you know? But that's his voice, and that's what he looks like. I can identify him through his voice, but now I know what he looks like. Just get into the kind of things that are happening to this individual. Blind, and now he sees. Never, ever, ever lose the enthusiasm of the fact that you were blind, and now you see. This is what Satan is constantly trying to pull us apart, get us focused on a million other things that don't matter. But what matters is we were blind and now we see, spiritually speaking. I never want to grow tired of being excited about that fact that I was dead in my trespasses and sin, that I am a sinner but now saved by God's grace. I was on a path of self-destruction and now put on a path to everlasting life. That's the power and the joy and the excitement. He says, no, it's me. I was the guy that was blind. I was the beggar. Yeah, it was me. Therefore, they said to him, and we'll note all the way through this in this chapter, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? How did this take place? And it's not for you and for me to be consumed with the how, but that's the human condition, isn't it? How did this take place? But it's really who did this? That's really what this is about. Who? But they're caught up with how. All the stuff that goes on with religion is all about how. How you wash your hands just the right way. How you do this thing at this time and that thing at that time and do this just right and do that just right. How you do everything. Because it's all about the efforts of men. But you see, it's really about the who, and the contrast starts. This contrast starts to set up for us. How were your eyes open? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay. Doesn't know anymore. Remember, he's blind when this process took place, right? We talked about this in our last study. A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. And that was a little bit of a bummer, wasn't it? Because the reality is, it's just like us. Sometimes we can lose sight of who it is that really touched and ministered to us in our deepest need. And we never want to lose sight of that. But Jesus, let's go on. But Jesus, they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Okay, we got to get this into the religious authorities. Let's get this to those guys. Now, it was the Sabbath when Jesus made clay and opened his eyes. Oh, no, not that. You see, but this is the mindset, isn't it? This is the, let you stay with me. This is the religious mindset. Now, we read through this and it's like, wow, you got to be kidding me. Does it really matter what day, anything? I mean, you know. But man, they're bent on the how, remember? Now, it was on the Sabbath when Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. Again, they just want to know how. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. It's not that complicated.
How did you get fixed on this whole drug addiction? How did you get healed from the alcohol? How did you get healed from all of the pornography? How did you get healed from all the sin? How did you get that staining out of your mind and your heart? How did that happen? No, it's not how. I can tell, I have no idea how it all happens. I just know it happens when we trust Jesus. When we give our lives to Jesus, it happens. Well, you know, maybe that works for some. No. That'll work for anybody. God is no respecter of persons. God can touch your life, my life, anybody's life. He can make us whole as we yield ourselves to Him. And you may say, well, man, I've been on a long journey of God just touching and ministering and trying to make me right. And I've seemed like I've just got start. I've been at this for years and years and years, and I feel like I've got so much more ground to cover. Well, that's okay. You're on the trail, aren't you? Just stay on the trail. God's doing that work in your life, and just enjoy what God is doing. It's not all about the how. It's about whom has done the work in our lives. He proclaimed my eyes, I watch, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? Ooh, that's a good question. Is Jesus a sinner? See, this is a good question. How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was division among them. They said to the blind man again. Now, this is a blind beggar, and he's the one that's brought in to give defense. I love this. He's the one that's brought in to give defense about who the person of Jesus is. How many books do you think he's read? Exactly. We just take so much for granted out of the scripture, don't we? I'm telling you, we got to get in this guy's head a little bit and see what's going on. This guy's never read anything. He can't read anything. Well, unless God's divinely healed him and he's able to read now. But other than that, he's just going to give a defense for something of all that he knows is, I was blind, or in some most of our case, I was all messed up, and God came in and fixed it, touched me. Now, you say, well, that just doesn't make any sense. The religious say it doesn't make any sense. Okay. When you've been blind and now you see, do you really care what anybody else thinks, honestly? I don't think you care. You don't care what the religious groups think? What did they do for you? Pitch you a nickel once in a while, maybe, when they walked past you. I don't know what they did or what they didn't do. They didn't heal him, though. Jesus healed him. You remember his first statement in verse 11 was, a man, this guy, this man came called Jesus. Now it says, they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? They're starting to get into his head. Hey, well, so, you know, what do you think about this guy now? He said, he's a prophet. Okay, so that's kind of good. We're progressing a little bit, aren't we? He started out as just a man, and now he's a prophet. He's being recognized as something other than just some regular guy. I think this guy, think about it, this is over just a period of a little bit of time. This is all the same day. This might only be within the first hour. All these things, all this questioning, and he's trying to just defend himself in a sense, and what's there to defend? I was blind. This guy, Jesus, told me to go. He put mud in my eyes. It was a little bit of an irritant. I went down. He told me to go wash. I washed, and now I see. Well, you see, theologically, really, what happened was, you know, I mean, he doesn't have any basis for anything other than, I was blind, I see. If we could keep our Christianity where it really belongs, is, I was blind, and now I see, and just grow in that, man. What a powerful force to be reckoned with. As night after night, day after day, in our city, around us here in the metropolitan area of Kansas City, we watch death after death from gang violence and all kinds of other things. Night after night, this transpires. People killing each other. This is horrible. And the hope is in Jesus Christ. It's not in building more prisons. We're not talking about reforming people, are we? We're talking about transformation. Changed heart, changed life. Verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. This is some kind of hoax. Think about where are you at when someone comes to you and says, God changed my life radically. Oh, yeah, well, let me see, you know. You want to start getting in the spiritual thermometer and kind of checking them out, making sure they're just where you think they should be or what. Hey, just love on them. Accept, great, praise the Lord. Let God just reveal who he is in their lives and let them grow. What an exciting thing. Oh, my. Jews did not believe concerning that he had been blind and received his sight until they had called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, they bring the parents in now. Is this your son? Who you say, the accusation? Well, I know you've claimed that he was blind. Of course, we walked past him every day and we saw him sitting there, but I understand. You claim he was blind. You say he was born blind. Whoop, comes up again, doesn't it? Verse 19, how then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. We're sure of that. And that he was born blind. We're absolutely sure of those two things. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who, at least they've got the right idea, don't they? Opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him, he will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. And their fear and their concern was all of their livelihood was connected with that. All of their interaction was connected with that. Their whole life was consumed with this, and it could really cause them great, great financial and just total duress. And so they're like, well, we're not really sure exactly what all happened. You talk to him. Therefore, his parents had said, he is of age, ask him. Hey, he'll make his own defense. And so they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. They're accusing Jesus of being a sinner, and they're saying, hey, give God the glory. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. So I don't know that much about this guy. One thing I do know, one thing that I'm sure of, that though I was blind, now I see. That is so wonderful. I'm not positive about all of your stuff that you're talking about, but one thing I am sure of is that I was blind and now I see. I was lost in my sin and now I'm forgiven, is really our statement of the same spiritual context of this thought. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Again, fixated on that same thing. This is religion. You see the contrast starting to happen. Is it happening all around us? And that's why our focus here at Calvary Chapel is the person of Jesus Christ and understanding that God is the only one that can forgive and that we need the Holy Spirit activated and at work in our lives. And we can only have a right relationship with the one true living God, the Father, is through the Son, the finished work of the cross. That's the only way it's going to happen. And we want to give that the emphasis and the place that it deserves. Not all these hows and whats, but who. We want to keep the main thing at all times. Fixed on the person of Jesus Christ. He answered them, I told you already. This is the blind man. Not blind now, previously blind man. I told you already. And you did not listen. He says, I already told you this a couple times now, and you're not listening to anything I've said. I didn't get religion. I didn't get religion. I met the person of Jesus Christ, and that changed the whole course of my entire life and my eternal destiny. That's what happened to you too. Those of you who know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that is what happened to you. You didn't get religion. you got religion, you got something different than I got. We didn't get religion. We got Jesus. And they're two different things. And Jesus is making that perfectly clear. And this guy, using just a regular guy, like just a person just like any of us. I told you already, and you didn't listen. You overeducated, pious peoples. You're just not hearing what I'm saying. Why do you want to hear it again? I'm just going to say the same thing. I got near this dude. This guy got some mud. He mixed the mud and made some mud. Put it in my eyes. He told me to go down to the wash. I come back. I see. I don't know. It's going to be the same story. Do you want to hear it again? Do you, I love this part, do you also want to become his disciples? Isn't that great? The innocence, isn't it just great? Hey, you guys want to start following too? Maybe he can help you. Maybe he can make you right. You know? Isn't that true, though? He's just a regular guy. He's been touched. He's been ministered to his deepest need. And he says, hey, look it. You want to start following him, too? Man, now that really tripped a trigger, you can bet. Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple. But we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. I got to turn back a couple of chapters. Verse 39 of chapter 5, if you would, of John's Gospel. This is what Jesus says. Verse 39 of chapter 5, John's Gospel. This is what Jesus says regarding the religious of his time, the scribes and Pharisees. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, Jesus said. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Religion creates blockage. It is spiritual cholesterol. Really. It just starts coating the arteries and the inside, and then you can't see Jesus then. It just clogs the flow of the life-giving blood of the person of Jesus Christ. How horrible, and yet how true. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't know where he is from. Oh. The man answered and said to them, check this. This guy's so great. Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from. You guys are supposed to be kind of running point on all this stuff, I thought. You know? I thought you guys were supposed to have the info on all this God stuff, and you don't even know where this guy's from, and yet he's the one that opened my eyes. There's something's not jiving right, huh? Isn't it great, the simplicity of a guy that's just been touched and healed and ministered to, and he's just saying, hey, I don't know what happened exactly from some technical standpoint. All I know is this is what happened. Brothers and sisters, this is what sparks revival. Not a bunch of religiosity thoughts, but this is what sparks revival. This kind of understanding of who Jesus is. You know, we've often looked back over the last 40 years or 45 years, and we can go back and watch some of the Jesus People movement, and many of us got saved during that time period. But we can go back into that time period, 1971, 1972, late 60s, early 70s, and we can start looking at what was happening culturally to us. And we can start looking at what was going on, and all of this useless seeming in our society, useless people. All these long-haired hippies and stuff wandering around. They didn't wear shoes. They just wandered all over the place. And it was just, it was a kind of a crazy time period. And yet, you know, I was talking with some of these crazy guys. I was very young at that time. I know that's hard to believe. I was young once. I wonder that about myself sometimes, but I was young once. And I remember during that time period, I was probably about 12 years old, 13 years old during the very early 70s. And I remember all of this going on all around me. I remember watching And I remember the discussions that were had around my dinner table about the hippies that were getting saved. And I remember looking at People Magazine, Time Magazine. I remember watching Pastor Chuck and all the baptisms at Corona and all these hippies on the hillside and stuff. Let me tell you something that's real interesting about this, because I was talking to some of these hippies. They don't look quite the same. Some of them don't even have hair anymore. But I was talking with some of them, because some of them traveled with me in Japan this last trip. And we were visiting, and they were talking about the things that were happening just in ministry globally and so on. We were just kind of visiting about some things. They're saying, gosh, you know, it's just so wild to see things birthed out of revival. And we're just kind of talking about that. But then we started getting into it a little bit further, and it was like, something special happens when you're desperate. And you see, during that time period, many people became very desperate, especially the young people, because of the drug addictions and the sexual abuses and all the craziness that was going on in our world. And there was a desperation, a desperate, heartfelt need for things to be right. There wasn't peace. And materialism was really just kind of coming into play. It wasn't like it was today. And I think, wow, I wonder what the Lord is going to allow to happen, that we might become desperate. You know, we sing that song, I'm desperate for you, and that's where my mind goes. I remember ruining my life on my own, and I remember becoming very desperate inside, very. And I know who met my need, and it wasn't any religious thing. It was the person of Jesus Christ. Desperation can ignite, when we meet Jesus, a powerful revival. So though the days get dark, look for the light, because Jesus wants to move like never before. I know there's darkness, but there is a powerful, marvelous light that dwells within you, and it's the person of Jesus Christ. Desperate times. This guy was very desperate. He'd never even seen before. He's a beggar. He's just giving his testimony. That's all he's doing, just sharing his simple testimony. The man answers, why is this a marvelous thing that you do not know where? This is a marvelous thing you don't know where he's from. Yet he opened my eyes. Verse 31, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. So if God doesn't hear sinners, but then this guy's doing this, so this guy must not be a sinner then. Since the world began, it has been unheard that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. This is a regular guy. And he gives one of the most perfect theological statements that could ever be made. And the religious can't even hear it. They don't even hear what he's saying. Because it's who, not how. They're obsessed with how and missing who. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and you are teaching us. And they cast him out. We are not going to hear of it. That's what religion does. Religion rejects Jesus. Religion just simply rejects Jesus. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, Jesus went and found him. When he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? Imagine this guy looking at Jesus. Do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord? Then I may believe in him. And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And he knows this is the guy that mixed the mud. This is the dude that said, go down here. This is wild. Then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Now, did Jesus say, get on your feet, don't worship me? Jesus received the worship because Jesus is deity. He is God, and he received the worship. You go through Revelation, you see the angelic being
as John falls down to worship this angel. Whoa, 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 whoa. The angelic being says, dude, no, no, no. Don't do that. Get up. I'm just a fellow servant with you. Do not worship me. Worship the one on the throne. And that's the person of Jesus Christ. And here, as Jesus reveals who he is to this guy, Jesus received the worship. And Jesus said, for judgment I've come into this world. And we say, well, wait a minute. I thought he said he hadn't come to judge. Well, there's a difference between Jesus, the result of him coming, and the purpose of him coming. The purpose of him coming is to prepare and to make a way for you and I that we might have everlasting life. That's the purpose of his coming, that you and I might be forgiven. That's his purpose. But the fact is that because he's come, there are going to be those who reject him, and it brings judgment upon their lives. So this is a result. For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. That those who actually are seeing this but rejecting it, blindness. If you're hearing today and you're not walking with God, you see, you don't want to harden your heart against that and create further blindness. You want to open your heart to the Lord. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. In other words, there'd be nothing to condemn you if you were blind to all of these issues or the things that we're talking about. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. He says, you know what's going on. You know that what we're talking about, you have the written word, and you've rejected it. And you've rejected the testimony of this man and of the divine healing and of the person of who it's all about. Religion or relationship? Religion never can provide everlasting life. Only relationship with Jesus Christ can provide that. You know, we of all people on the face of this earth, of all people who were once blind spiritually, but now we see, study through, contemplate this testimony of this blind man and what you and I have to share with a world around us that is spiritually blind. Don't get sidetracked by a bunch of other stuff. Stay focused on the main thing that really matters. And that's about who you know. Who your relationship is with. I'm going to ask the guys to come forward and start to distribute the bread and the cup. We'll have the worship team come up. And as they begin to distribute that, if you would you please hang on to the elements there, the bread and the cup? If you would just hang on to those, we will partake of it together. As a body of believers, great time to celebrate who Jesus is and all that he has done for us. After we have reflected on this powerful truth of God's grace and his healing power. So as they begin to distribute the bread and the cup again, just hang on to it. And we're just going to worship for a few moments as this is being distributed. And contemplate, you know, who God is. Not what, but who God is in your heart and how he wants to touch and heal and minister. If you don't know Jesus, pray a simple prayer of faith. Jesus, I want to be forgiven. I want to open my heart to you. I want you to live inside my heart. I want to be born again. Forgive me of all my sin. And Jesus will do that right now. Simple prayer of faith to open your life up to Jesus.